Welcome to Romance Writers Therapy. That's Marty V.
That's me.
And I'm Kay Pryor.
That's her.
And this is our first actual recording session in 2023.
That's right.
I know we just dropped an episode. You know, that sounded like it might have been made in 2023, but it was really in the last couple of weeks of 2022.
And that's the magic of recording.
That is. That's the magic of hate when meant to. I meant to. I don't know why I said then third person. That's the magic of me thinking, the magical thinking of. Oh, I'm so close to having a snazzy one-liner. That's the magical thinking of me thinking.
I can't.
I honestly don't know where you're going. I'm like, she is in the weeds and I don't know how to bring her back.
I'm gone. I'm starting this episode off. I'm just gone. That I would get everything under the sun done. You know?
Oh, that like the warp perception of what time is and how much can be accomplished in time.
And how much energy you're going to have.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
because
you move. Like,
yeah, I got norovirus the day before Christmas.
Or like, which was also like the day you were supposed to move into your apartment.
Which was also the day I was supposed to move into my new apartment with my boyfriend and our cat.
Just, I mean, amazing timing all around for you.
Yeah, and this is also the, like, I still have presents to wrap and buy and I'm supposed to be helping out with Christmas cookies. And
now
I'm in like the ER, like throwing up on a nurse, like, I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh. Did you really? I'm so sorry that happened.
I did not on a nurse, but like, you know, in front of a lot of people, I threw up on the, like, I'm sorry, listener, this is so gross. the arm cuff that like
okay.
that takes your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, someone's gonna have to clean that and... And the thing is, the bathroom in the hospital had, like, this little shower, and I was, like, so drained and dehydrated at that point. I was like, I cannot fathom trying to wash myself off in a normal way. I'm just gonna take my shirt off and stand in the shower. Or, no, and it had this little chair in it. I was like, I'm gonna faint, so I'm gonna sit down on the chair.
Oh, my gosh.
I acknowledged that there was, like... Because it was screwed into the wall, but like three of the screws were coming out, and I saw that, and I was like, that's not a problem. And then like a minute later, I'm on the floor, and the nurse comes in, and she's like, what happened? I'm like, you tell me.
Lady, I have no control over myself right now.
Literally, that's what it was. It was like, I'm sorry, my body's just going to continue to like do gross things, and I'm just not even going to be around for it. Like I'm gone. Goodbye. Anyway, that was my Christmas. And then I moved. I hadn't packed at that point really either.
This is not about Christmas. This is directly after I had Ash.
Mm-mm.
So we were in like the intake space because I had a cesarean, and we were there for a while, and I was so tired and. Ash nursed for a whole hour directly after, which is like unheard of for newborns.
Hungry
like,
baby.
Holy crap. I was so tired. And like Andrew is sleeping like in like a plastic chair next to me. And like he has always apologized. I'm like, why would you be awake? Like, definitely, if you can fall asleep in plastic chair, fall asleep in plastic chair. But it got to the point where like the intake nurse was like, you are so tired and this little guy just will not stop nursing, so I'm going to take him. And so she took him for like 15 minutes and I mean, I fell asleep so fast, right?
Yeah. Oh, and did Andrew wake up and he's like,
no,
baby.
Oh god, that'd be terrible. No,
like what happened? And he'd be like, fuck if I know.
I don't know, some lady said she was gonna take him.
And I said, yeah, good.
Yeah.
I'm
you
so
look
tired.
Reputable. But then you know, we get our room and they're I'm holding Ash and they're wheeling me around, and I realize pretty quickly, like, I have terrible motion sickness. right?
Ooh.
And so, like, if I said anything, we're done, right? And I know okay. There's nothing near me for them to give me, right? Like, so my yeah. mantra was just, don't throw up on the baby. Do not throw don't up on the baby. You will not throw up on your baby, right?
I mean, considering the number of times your baby will probably throw up on you.
It's true.
It's true. Warranted. You know, maybe like once is fine.
Just once. Just the one
just
time.
Not on like the face. You can get the leg or the hand in there.
But then we get in the room, which was like an elevator ride, multiple corridors. I am like, where is this place? Right?
God. How far away is it?
Oh, man. And then I'm like, someone take the baby now. I'm going to be sick. And, like, had just enough time for them to hand me the bag out, like, out of the wall and take the baby. And, like, everything went fine. Perfect. No big deal. But it was definitely like, I'm not going to throw up on this child. Nope. That will not be one of my core memories about having a baby.
Maybe not the first thing that happens to him.
Yeah, exactly. His, like,
entry to the world.
Welcome
okay,
home,
I'm sorry,
baby.
Listener, that yeah, this is so
we might
puke-centric.
Minutes. So fake relationships, huh?
Yeah, so other things
there
that
is
make
no
us
natural
not nauseous.
Other things what?
Other things that don't make us nauseous, I don't know. That seems like we needed to segue into a trope that we're really grossed out by and not
yeah.
like a trope we enjoy.
So you want to talk about secret baby or something?
Oh.
No,
see,
we're not.
Okay.
Okay, if you want to, go for it.
I mean, we could. I don't have any books off the top of my head.
I don't either.
Yeah, I had, like, thought
also,
about,
I'd
like,
have
maybe
to...
a book.
I have found that, like, with secret baby, I don't dislike it if it's, like, there literally is no way for them to find the other person. Like, they had a one-night stand, and they don't have each other's names. You know what I mean? Like, if there's literally no way for them to find this person, then, like, I'm okay with it.
Well, like, so the secret baby trope kind of baffles me. Like, I guess we're talking about it anyway.
Apparently, yeah.
Throw up babies and secret babies.
It just, I mean, if it didn't align so perfectly, you know?
Yeah, no, it just, this is what ADHD is like. This is just the experience of having it, listener. I'm so glad we could get that to you.
Nothing validates me more that I have ADHD than talking to you about, like, the way my mind works.
Yeah, let's wander down this road. Let's see where it takes us. What agenda?
What agenda? Okay, so go ahead.
No, just like, so I see the appeal of surprise baby trope, you know? I think.
Surprise baby trope I'm down for.
You know, like, when it's well received by the characters, and like, maybe they do have to have a little emotional arc about it, like, to figure out what their feelings are, that's fine. But,
or,
like, as long as they're not, reacting with, like, anger or something terrifying. You know,
well,
that I'm like, I'm about it.
Even if, like, the anger is deeply, like, seated in, like, fear, like, if there's some reason for this person to be scared about the fact that they had, that they had a baby.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. I was thinking,
right?
Like, on the other, like, the man's part of it. Like,
oh, no,
like,
that's what I was thinking. Like, if there's, like, some sort of hereditary illness,
like,
or
I don't want
to pass
someone
this on
to, like...
anyone, so I've always chosen not to have children, and then to find out they have a baby, and
okay,
you know, like, that sort of thing. Like, not necessarily that they aren't happy.
Like, I feel like the example my mind just jumped to was, like, Bridgerton, where he was like, I don't want to have a baby because I don't want anyone to inherit my dukedom, and then I feel like in both the book and the TV show, it's deeply problematic.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, she was like, well, I'm going to do whatever.
Oh, it's definitely
I'm
going to
commit a crime.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we call assault.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was, like, we apparently are talking about this. There is a book that I heard the premise of that I have not read. And I honestly don't know the titles because I'm the worst.
So, this coming to you now, our new podcast, Vague Book Recommendations.
It has a blue
cover.
You have
to tell us the title and the author.
And yeah, please, please, listener, please save me from myself. I honestly want to read this.
I mean, the number of Facebook groups I'm in that are like, oh, I remember once in a dream that I read a summary about this book, mm-hmm. and it's about like a duke and a milkmaid, and you know, like they keep giving like all these details, and then like 10 different people will answer, be like, that's this book, and it's all different books, and
you're like, yeah, exactly.
But sometimes Alice, they get so specific, and it's like, how do you know everything but the author?
Yeah, but like, I mean, our brains are weird. So okay, so this secret, I guess, surprise baby would be the the trope, but this woman has a one night stand with a guy when she's at a convention, and so neither of them are in the city that they normally live in, and they don't, like, they don't have each other's names and numbers and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And then her son is now 8 years old and going into, like, open heart surgery, and the surgeon is the dad.
Oh my god.
I know, right? Tell me you don't want to read that
book!
That
is so soap opera.
Oh my gosh. The stakes in that one. Like, so she can't tell him that he's the dad when she meets him, right?
Mm, yeah.
Because, like, then ethically, the best heart surgeon can't do surgery on her son. I know! I want to read this book! Show me the drama! So...
This book may or may not exist.
It totally does. I saw a TikTok.
You're sure it exists?
I think so.
No, okay.
If it doesn't, I want to write it.
You can't trust TikToks because so many of them are like, here's the plot synopsis of this book, or here's a really cool scene from this book, and you're like, I want to read it. And they're like, oh, it's just a thought I had. And it's like, are you
That's
for real?
So annoying.
You cannot do that to
that
me.
That is so annoying. I don't want that existence to be real.
Now, I keep stumbling across these, and it's, you know, and there's always, like, an account that just keeps posting them, and then they're like, oh, one day I'm gonna write this book, and it's like, just write it! Then tell us about it.
How do people market things that they haven't even written yet? I don't think that they're marketing my things that exist. Like,
because they're not marketing a real thing that exists, that they can say the most exciting thing ever, and not have to, like, ground it in any plot or logistics or characters. They can just throw together a really cool idea and not watch that. I feel like that's how books
happen.
Because
then the idea becomes something different. Absolutely.
No, like, you start with your idea, and that's why people always say you need to write down that initial spark, that initial thing that makes you excited about the book. That little, whether it's a scene or a plot synopsis, you need to write that down so that you can, like, hold on to it as the thesis of your book, and that's going to be, like, what you market from.
So are we actually going to talk about fake relationship?
Do you still want to? It's been 14 minutes.
I mean, I think that this is an interesting conversation. We're definitely following our thoughts. What do you think? Do you want to do fake relationship another time?
We could keep talking. I just don't know how... Like, what else are we going to talk about in, like, just every baby trope there is? I was just going to say, this episode is the surprise baby of baby trope.
Dude, it is! We did not see this surprise baby episode coming!
We were just going to fake dating our way into this, and we have a surprise
baby. One of us came out with great expectations. So,
and we'll talk about how much we love fake dating later, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. Would you ever consider writing, like, a surprise baby or something like that?
I feel like what I kind of create most of my plots on is, like, something that, like, it really hinges on sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like surprise
babies just deflate that.
I
can't foresee me ever writing one either, because, like, for one thing, like, child rearing is, like, so hard, right? Like, every day is very hard and, like,
deeply
traumatic,
unsexy.
In a lot of ways. And, like, it's, I just don't want anyone to enter in that, like, even my characters, I don't want them to enter into that unless it's like, this is 100% what I want to do, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, surprise baby, yeah, just kind of puts it too much in, like,
well, it's just so, it's deeply emotional by nature, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just those kinds of plots, it's really hard to sexy. Like, okay, so I will say, I did have a story idea. I have not written it. It's just something I kind of doodled an outline for.
Mm-hmm.
And not even, like, a full outline. Just, I don't think it's good. I just think it's kind of, it was just something I wanted to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And not actually work on. The idea was, like, oh, God, what movie? I guess I watched a movie with Tina Fey in it. I think it was where she has, like, a surrogate mother.
And
like,
Amy Poehler. Yeah, baby mama.
Oh, is that it? Okay. So, yeah, like, you know.
I have not seen it, but yeah.
I do not remember anything about it, but I think that's kind of what got me thinking on this road. Where I wanted to write about a character who was a surrogate mother for someone very close to her. And so, like, she's, like, emotionally invested in this, but it's also kind of, like, tanking her social life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, she. And so I just kind of wanted to, like, explore that emotional journey of, like, what happened if she did meet someone and then kind of has to explain the weird situation she's in and they still have, like, a relation and...
Oh, I like that.
It's cute, but it's also, like, yeah, they're just gonna keep ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yeah. Well, and, like, just, like, the emotional place that, like, being pregnant takes you
as well, you know? Yeah, and I think people do... You know, I feel like that's something you, in books you do see a lot of, like, this happens so often where you'll have, like, your, I feel like this definitely happens a lot in heterosexual books, where you've got your female character and then you've got the male character, and then it's, the book kind of goes out of its way a little bit to show the male character acting, like, fatherly or nurturing to a child. And it's like, child can be related to him, or how much of a character the kid is in the book varies intensely. Uh-huh. Like, some of them, it's just, like, a random-ass kid, like, oh, let me grab this kid off the ground so he doesn't get run over by a truck kind of thing. I do not know. Like, they can be as that random, or it could be, like, oh, here's his stepdaughter, or daughter from another marriage, or whatever. And, like that kind of a thing. Where it's like, we're gonna show that and it's gonna make you go, aww. And
which innately makes you go, ugh. Like, I just know.
But also kind of makes you go, ugh.
I just know you personally are like, don't make me feel things.
Yeah.
You can't
make
me feel what you want me to feel.
See, no, if you do it subtly.
I was gonna say, you have to be really clever about it in order for Kate to appreciate it.
I feel like when it's done in a romantic context of, like, we're deliberately creating this female gaze kind of thing, and it feels kind of, like, too pointed, you know, too much. Like, I can feel someone's finger on the scale, someone deliberately positioning these things.
But, the music is swelling. And, like, absolutely.
It's like,
they're using everything in their arsenal to make you feel something. And so it feels, like, cheesy.
So, like, an example I really love, and it doesn't actually have a romantic context. I cannot remember their names for the life of me, but it's the characters from The Last of Us. It's been so long since I played this video game.
Okay.
But the basic rundown is that it's a zombie apocalypse, I believe, kind of thing. This guy who's the protagonist of the game, old grizzled kind of man, and he's lost his family. I guess he lost a daughter at some point to, like, cancer or something. And this girl just lost her family to the zombie horde or whatever. And I'm getting so many details wrong. I can just feel it. I'm blindly searching through what I can remember of this.
I can't fact check on this one. So,
okay.
You could tell me anything. Listener
can't either. But so, like, it's... The thing is, so these two people are just absolute strangers to each other, but they kind of, you're very aware of that they, like, on a surface level, fill the gaps these two have just lost in each other's lives.
They both have and a need so, that, like, the other person's fitting into.
Yeah, but it's there's that struggle between actually letting the person in and but also not being willing to just replace people. And yeah. So kind of the bumps that kind of happen with that. Also while, like, you know, surviving the zombie apocalypse.
Of course.
And though there's a lot of great moments in that where, like, you see them having that moment that really make you go, aww, he's like her dad and she's like her daughter. It's so cute. And, yeah. You know, that I really love because it feels really subtle and, or not subtle, like, that's the whole point of, like, I feel like the story, but it's...
But it feels natural.
Yeah, it feels, because it's part of a bigger emotional arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know, sometimes, like, when you see it used in romance, like, it can feel too pointed a lot of the time.
Well, I generally have an issue with, like, single parents romances, because a lot of times I feel like the kids are just window dressing. They're not there when it would be inconvenient for the child to be a part of the storyline, and then all of a sudden they're there when it's convenient for them to push the plot, right? And so, that's my number one criticism of, like, single parent tropes. And then also, like, why, like, you know, secret baby is just not sexy to me, because it's just not a sexy time, right?
Well, like, I feel like there's also, like, it's hard to avoid the level of deception that goes into it, because it's such a big
thing.
Yeah,
well, I mean secret slash surprise baby. Like, you know, I'm taking the responsibility of telling them out of, like, it's, like, not in my brain right now. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not making a moral conversation about it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But, like,
there could be circumstances where...
Well, if it's actually a secret baby, it would be a hard sell not to share that with the other person. Like, you would have to have a pretty strong plot point as to why you aren't sharing that with the other person.
Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of this romance. I read, like, half of it. It was a vintage... Oh my god, it's by Betty Neals, I want to say. Ugh, god, let me Google, because I have internet now. I felt so stupid when my mom pointed out that Betty Neals is obviously a pen name.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Because it's
such a pun.
It's such a pun, but, like...
I never would have thought of it either.
Okay, I'm never going to find it. Her, I just looked up her writing career, and it is so long. Oh my god, there's so many books here. Betty Neals, one of her many books, the one that I started to read, because it was like a vintage, maybe it was a Harlequin?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. And, you know, it was short, and that's why I wanted to read it. I was like, oh, this is something I could just knock out, and then it was like, no, this is gonna take me goddamn forever, because the writing's not bad, it's just a little bit dense, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it definitely has, I feel like, it's very detailed, and you do have to kind of wade through the
details. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that kind of, like, made me stop reading was that it's a nurse and a doctor, and they're both, like, they both live in England, and she's like, I'm, like, the doctor hates her, obviously, like, he's Swedish, and he's mean to her every chance he gets. They work at the same hospital. Then she's like, you know what, I'm going to go on a vacation to Sweden. And then she runs into him there, and he's like, I live around the corner. And that's what Sweden's
like. Obviously. Yes. It was a spot on Swedish accent. So.
Oh, God.
I live around the corner.
Yes.
I didn't know that JFK was Swedish. I live around the corner.
You're going to kill me. That's not a Swedish accent or a JFK accent. I don't.
Daddy Explorer. Have you ever seen that comedian?
No. What?
I don't know what comedian, what the comedian's name is, but he has this bit that's like Dora the Explorer. It's like they want it to rhyme, but it only rhymes in the Kennedy household. That's Barbara.
I love how this episode is like, all right, we're not going to give you any names or titles. Or you have to figure it out.
This is like a scavenger hunt, and we really want you to solve it for us.
The show notes on this are gonna be buck wild.
Yeah.
They're either gonna be blank or Marty's gonna do hours of research for this.
No, it's gonna be blank.
Okay. Just now. So he's like, I live around the corner, as you do in like your chateau countryside kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. He takes Sweden is really, really small, actually. And it's really easy to just run into one person there.
Yeah, so. The one guy you left England to escape.
Who happens to also, why, like, did they never communicate? Like, they're both going on sabbatical at the same time?
I have no idea.
Or like, is he just returning? This is mind-boggling. Okay, keep on going. He lives in the corner.
And anyway, so he's like, come over to my house for lunch. And she's like, yeah, all right. And then he's like, meet my 5-year-old daughter. She's dying.
Oh my god.
The mom is out of the picture somehow. I have no idea what the explanation was. But daughter absolutely loves this like picture book with like mice in it, where the mice get married and there's this beautiful wedding dress in the book. And so he asks the nurse who he treated so terribly in the English hospital to pretend to be his fiance for dying baby's last 5 months to live.
Oh my god.
And they go on picnics together and the baby's like, I want to see you in this beautiful wedding dress. And she's like, yeah, I guess I'll just get in a wedding dress. And the thing is, it's like, this baby has 5 months to live. They keep saying that. And she's like, I guess I'll tell my family I'm marrying this doctor. I will write to my cousin who also lives in Sweden to come down and have lunch and picnics with us. And at that point, I was just so lost in it. I was like, you know, I cannot keep reading this.
Oh my god. I have so much, like, ow. Like,
I know, it's like...
Old, like, OG romances really...
OG romances go so hard.
They go so hard.
It's like this book is less than 100 pages, I think.
Oh my god. They, like, really were like... Here are your heartstrings. Let me play them. This is emotional porn. Like,
yeah, and like, it was buck wild, and I just could not get past the whole. We're gonna dress you up like a bride. We're gonna get you married to this guy who you hate. You're gonna have feelings about like how much you hated him, but now you see him being a nice dad to this dying 5-year-old. I cannot, like, stress how fucking weird a plot point that is.
Well, and then also, like, okay, so they're supposed to have an HEA after this?
Yeah, like, I like, can only imagine
child on their deathbed and, like, they're staring longingly into each other's eyes? Like, how is this supposed to go?
I have to imagine that the baby was misdiagnosed and she gets to live. Like, I cannot imagine an ending.
I don't know.
The funeral and we kiss at it. Like, what?
Oh man, I don't trust it to be that reliable.
Like, yeah, no, you're right. It could go real hard the other way.
It could really go real hard the other way. Where now we're watching her and him like grieve together, and that's what makes him appreciate her, is that she loved his daughter like it was her daughter, and like all this stuff. Like, it could go that way. So dark.
Yeah, okay, so those are my feelings on children in romances. They're always used in, like, some weird agenda, it's, like, specifically to cast characters in a specific light, and, like, while I'm not against showing a character being nurturing, it always feels weirdly manipulative. Like, maybe not always, but, like, a lot of the time.
Well, because, like, as always, Roxy Noir did this really well.
Oh, of course, of course.
Of course.
She is the exception to everything. She is.
In the Loveless Brothers series, there is a little girl named Rusty, who was a surprise baby, right?
Okay.
So Daniel, the male lead in the second book,
I remember her. Yeah. Sorry, I just like remember. Oh yeah, she is in the first book.
She is, and she's delightful, a full fledged character with like moments of inconvenience all over the place, and like. She, like, has, like, her interests and, like, stuff like that. She's a really great character and, like, very much alive on the page.
Okay.
And so Daniel
was having like a rowdy time in life. And then just before he and his best friend Charlie were like finally going to get together, the next day, a girl he had like a one night stand with, a woman he had a one night stand with, shows up with a year and a half old baby and is like, this one's yours, and just left, right? And so, like, he had a secret baby he didn't know about. He does not end up with a mother. And, like, it's really good. Like, it's really good. And, like, throughout the entire series, we have Rusty just being awesome. Like, she's just being a cool little kid. And, yeah, that book particularly, like, she did a really good job of, like, Rusty not being window dressing.
There you go. It's like she's in multiple books. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, and not feel completely irrelevant the whole time, she does have to have her own personality and like feel like a whole character.
Well,
and like, not just there.
And like that, I think, is part of the problem with a lot of romances featuring children, is they are just stereotypes of kids.
Yeah, like okay, so this is one of those things where it's like, if you don't have a relationship to someone like this or this age in real life, you get it absolutely wrong. Like, it's the same thing with like when people who have never had a sibling try to write what the sibling dynamic is like.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, brother, how are you doing today?
Exactly.
And not like throwing something at someone and being like, hey, why did you eat the rest of my cereal?
Yeah.
like
Or, like, greeting them, like, okay, so I actually call my brother Big Brother because I think it's funny, right?
Oh, okay. You are.
He is in my phone as Big Brother. Because the joke has so many layers.
I think my brother in my phone is, oh, brother, wherefore art thou?
That's hilarious.
Which is, I think, a movie title
that it is.
Of us have seen.
It is. You haven't seen it?
I've seen, like, it's been on while I've been in the room so many times when I was a kid that I absorbed some of it, but I could not in good faith tell you anything about it except think it's, like, about being in antebellum South and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, dealing with the fucking Klan.
I think there's
or,
some
like,
of that,
running away from them.
I watched it, obviously, a long time when it, like, came out, and the jokes really went over my head.
Absolutely.
But like also like I've listened to the soundtrack so many times. Like I'm very connected to the soundtrack, but not anyway. So like Big Brother to me is funny because of like a 1984 reference, right? Also because no one just calls their brother Big Brother. And so, like, it's so funny to me.
Like it's ironic,
it's
but
ironic.
At the same time.
Yeah. But, like, Brandon, like, comes over for, like, Christmas, and, like, I just, like, jerk my head at him. I'm like, that's the welcome he gets, right? Like, this is my home. Get comfortable. Here we go. Like, sort of thing. Like, it just, yeah, the sibling dynamic, like, it's just really abnormal to have
no,
one
it's
that's,
like,
super warm. Like, you're too familiar.
Like, it becomes literally the Folgers coffee commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, right? Terrifying. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, bad vibes.
But then also, did you ever see It's Complicated with Meryl Streep?
No.
Okay. So Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin are divorced, right? And they have like four kids.
Okay.
And there's like all this stuff happening. The four kids find out that like mom and dad have been like sleeping together on the sly, and they're all pretty messed up about it, right? Because they had like a pretty gnarly like divorce and like stuff like that, right? And there's a scene where they all are like piled into like they're all like sitting in a bed with their backs against a headboard, right? And I was like, this is so weird. Like, there's no way I'm going to sit in a bed with my brother. Like, I don't care how much grief or weirdness is going on. No way. No way. But I was talking to a friend who has five siblings. She's like, I could totally see my siblings and I doing that. And I'm like, I guess there is quite a dynamic difference between two people sitting in a bed and five people sitting in a bed, you know? Like, so like.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, dynamics can be really different family to family. And I think that's really what you have to prove when you're writing like family dynamics is they are this close because, or they are not this close because, right? Like, you really have to, like, you have to world build. Like, you have to sell
it. So then, like, yeah, no, it's definitely, like, you really have to consider what the non-romantic relationships feel like, even in the book. Like, like, not even in a book. In a book. In any media that you create. Because otherwise it's going to feel flat and, like, you just, you can't phone it in. Because it does end up looking like the Folgers incest commercial.
Exactly.
Which, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just it's on YouTube. It has so much fan fiction about it.
It does. I mean, didn't like,
didn't Sierra Simone just drop something about it?
She did. She
like, wrote... she put out a short story where they're like step siblings. And...
Yes.
Oh my god.
You know, everyone has their thing. There's just some things like, I'm cool with not touching that. Like, that's gonna be for someone else. I don't need that one. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like we did stray away from children somehow, totally. Even though we just tried to commit to the surprise baby. Surprise siblings.
Okay, so what's something about surprise baby that works for you? What's something about it that doesn't work for you?
Well, so I want to say, in the guise of monster romance,
I don't
hate it as part of, like, wrapped up in, like, the mating trope.
You know, that would really work for me is if, yeah, like, monster romance, they have a different level of knowledge about each other's, like, anatomy, each other's rituals, like, stuff like that, and therefore they don't realize that they've, like, they've made a baby.
Yeah, and it's also, like, I really, the thing is, because the thing that can really end up icking me out about surprise baby is that, like, obviously, I don't want to say, obviously there are romances where your heroine will have an abortion, and, you know, there's a great collection of romance authors who put together, I think, a series of short stories to raise money for, was it the Yellow Hammer Fund?
No, I think it was Planned Parenthood.
Okay, one of them.
But Liz Alden has one that just came out today, Resolve. And that one, I think, I can't remember what that one's going to. Let me figure that out for you.
Okay. I'm just going to keep rambling.
Yeah, go for it.
There's nothing wrong with a character who makes that choice. It is such a serious topic to so many people that I don't want to be like, it's a mood killer, but, like, it definitely brings the story down a lot. I think in the same way that, like, parent death in romance, because it's so popular in romances, brings the tone to a very somber place, and you do have to figure out how you're going to work your way back from that. And it is important to have these things, I think, in romance, and it's good to see it, you know, treated with respect and not outright knee-jerk reactions to it. Well, so, like, I do like, you know, a little bit of feminism just kind of
absolutely
mixed in with the romance. I do enjoy that, where it takes a moment to be like, yeah, let's address some things. And, you know, it's good to, like, especially if it's something that you feel validated by, like, when there's plus size characters, and, like,
yeah,
having a character who loves their body and is loved for it unabashedly is such a great thing. And it's or, like, you know, addressing sexual harassment in the workplace, like, things like, you know, like, touching on important actual everyday topics, yeah. And, like, that is validating to read. So I've gone down a weird little road now, I'm sorry. But, like, so the thing that icks me out about surprise baby trope is that it can immediately take a sharp turn into that territory if the character has created, like, been vehemently against having children, or isn't in that place, or it's really going to surprise her and it's going to be so awful for her because that's not where she wants to be.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if she's not open to it, then it's terrifying.
A really good point is, like, the tone that you enter the book with matters.
Yes.
If you're trying to have a lighthearted rom-com and you have, like, parental death or something like that, like, now you've misrepresented, like, to the initial reader what it is, right?
Exactly.
There's a book that's really popular and like a whole book series that's really popular, but it has like a sudden death of a best friend. And it was like, this was not the book I started with, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we have a woman who gets unexpectedly pregnant and she's been saying the whole time she never wants to have children, I don't want her to keep that baby.
Right. Yeah. But if I don't want her to backbend into a new point of view, you know?
Exactly.
I don't want her to have a change of heart that is kind of forced upon her in this moment. Like,
well, and then also,
if she has a change of heart and then decides to get pregnant, that's great. But if you reverse the steps of that order, it feels forced.
Exactly. Well, and then also, like, if she has always wanted to have a baby and, like, isn't capable of it, and then here's a surprise pregnancy, that's, again, that is definitely a TW at the beginning of the book. Right?
Yes.
Because so many people do struggle with infertility, and they deserve to know what they're stepping into. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, that's probably the hardest thing about surprise baby or secret baby is like
you have to have a character who it's like, yeah, I think she would enjoy being a mom, or they would be enjoy being a mom,
or at least they're up for the challenge, right? Like,
yeah,
like this is something they want for reasons,
yeah,
right?
Something
like,
that it's not a complete blindside.
Absolutely. Like
you know,
they...
it's not gonna throw their entire life
Or if they're willing to throw their entire life in that direction. Like, if they are rudderless in the beginning of the book and they're just having a hard time figuring out what happens next for them. You know, they don't know what job to do. They don't know da-da-da-da. But now, like, this pregnancy has given them so much clarity. And now they have, like, a propeller, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to... You gotta sell it, right?
Yeah, no, okay, so... I absolutely believe you can write a book about someone who gets kind of thrown in the deep end by a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, they have a whole emotional arc about it, and you can have a very serious toned book that really explores that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that does kind of, maybe it's just because I'm still somewhat young and I don't have children and I haven't really put any thought in that. But it seems like to me that does not have romantic appeal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it's the kind of thing that requires so much soul searching that it feels like literary fiction almost.
Yeah.
Or women's fiction.
I think that
it shouldn't just be called women's fiction. But
yeah, I hear you. I think that I think there can be a lot of romance in that, like in a secret baby, right? Like the heroine isn't telling the hero because, you know, he has, like, let's say his family's in the mafia, and like she didn't find that out until after she slept with him, right? Not to say that like you can't sleep with people with like questionable paths or connections, but you know, I'm making a conversation out. I'm making a plot out of the top of my head.
You're pulling it out of the sky.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she finds out that he's connected to the mafia. She finds out she's pregnant, and she's scared about the life that her kid would have being involved with that man, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she keeps it a secret. And then he finds her, and she's all like, you know, great with child. He's like, all right, let's scrub our identities and let's run away together. And now we have, you know, him fleeing everything he's ever known. He's fleeing like the family legacy, like all this stuff.
I love this book you're writing on the fly. What's the title?
I don't know. Something with a mafia pun.
The family business.
In the family way.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so like I think there is room for romance there. But essentially in that scenario, we're seeing the surprise baby be the like the Dark Knight, and it's not the entirety of the plot. And I think that's one of those, like, I think this trope is best used as layering with another plot, like with another trope, right? So, like, yeah, essentially, I can see that. the other trope in this scenario would be like false identity or something, right? Yeah. Mistaken identity. So, like, oh shit. Okay, I'm sorry. I just got further God, you into are the story.
Write this book.
If I wrote mafia romances, I would. Okay, because like in this story, if let's say he is undercover, he's trying to infiltrate like the DA's office, and she is.
You the are DA. Getting so specific on this. I'm sorry, but like now,
it's no longer a thought. It's practically.
You are written. Doing the TikTok thing I just complained about. I have to cut you off.
But yeah, I think that would be a scenario I could do.
Yeah, yeah.
Secret baby.
Okay.
I'm a big ideas person. I have lots of ideas.
Yes, I know. Like, I know.
Ideas God, just happen. It's the follow through I struggle with. So.
Yeah. When I was sick this last week, I was laying in bed and I had like, I remember thinking, I would never write a superhero romance. But like I had a like, you know, like,
yeah,
not like a full on dream, but like you're just asleep enough that you're kind of like daydreaming, but it's kind of like also dreaming. You're kind of going back and forth and you're kind of steering it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
I don't
want
to call it lucid dreaming, but like, yeah.
But like, it's like adjacent.
Adjacent, yeah.
Yeah.
And because like, you know, I was just so exhausted.
You're like omniscient.
Yes, like I'm just here. It's happening. I'm giving suggestions from the sidelines.
My subconscious is really clever.
Yeah, my subconscious just does all the work. No, and so like I woke up and I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of a superhero romance.
That's hilarious. I would absolutely
and
read
now
a
I'm
superhero
sitting
romance.
Here like I really want to write this. And but I'm like also sitting here like I have to write the other thing. I'm committed to the other thing.
Aren't you like I'm so annoyed with myself with that? Because I was listening to our planning episode that you put out today. And I'm like, I'm so excited to write all that. I really am. But yeah, I mean, like, my brain just sparks inspiration in really short doses. And it's like, if I could just follow that, that'd be awesome. But like, that's never going to finish a book either.
Yeah. No, yeah. It starts so many.
It starts so many.
Yeah. All right. So I think, right. You know, I feel like we wandered off a tangent. Episode. It's you know, been an episode. Yeah, I mean, enough about secret babies.
We came with absolutely no intention of getting pregnant, but yet here we are.
So. And then I love how we started with throwing up on babies and then
the natural segue with secret baby.
So.
Oh, I do have one more point to make.
Okay.
Okay. Another thing that bothers me.
Okay.
Is like when the guy finds out that she's pregnant and he is just so excited to be a dad and there's absolutely nothing wrong in the entire world anymore because he's going to be a dad with the woman he loves, da, 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 this and that. I just think that all of our emotions are so much more nuanced than that. I think it's a really rare person that has that sort of reaction. And especially if you haven't shown me that this character would have such a flippant reaction to such a heavy moment in their life. Like, I can't be about it. It's just not going to be for me.
Happened a couple times in, like, various TV shows and movies where, like, one character is, I don't know, I guess someone finds the pregnancy test and they kind of look at each other and they kind of have this moment just staring at each other like, is this a good thing? Are we happy? Are we happy?
Yeah.
They're, like, both kind of trying to feel out each other's reactions for, like, a solid minute. Not that long. But like,
yeah,
you know, like, are you happy? Can I be happy? Or are we mad? Are we upset?
Well, and like, you know, I think that if it's a scenario, like, obviously I have friends that like, were just outright happy to have a baby, right? They were trying, they got pregnant. Both people involved were very excited. But like, Andrew and I decided we were going to have a baby. Decided we didn't want to have a baby, and the next morning I found out I was pregnant, and we cried in bed together. So,
Oh my god.
We it's were like, having not, we just, feelings.
What did we just goddamn say?
Well, and like, I knew the night before, I'm like, I know this is too late for us to have this conversation. Like, this is too late for us to change our minds. Like, I just know it, right? And then, yeah, we found out, like, I was like, you know, I'm just going to take this test right now. And I took it, and it was positive. And I went upstairs, and I told Andrew. And, like, I even thought, like, on the climb up the stairs, like, don't tell him now. Let him have one more day. Let him have one more day. And then, like, I was like, nope. I am not carrying this burden for a day by myself.
So, like, you know, there's your little bit of lived experience. Like, yeah. I could keep this to myself for a day and then, no.
I don't know how anyone could. My freaking friend, no, I can't relay their story. But, like, not that it's, like, super heavy, but if they listen to this, they know exactly who they are. I won't, like, share their information. But, like, I think we depict, like, we see so many more depictions of people finding out they're pregnant and people finding out, like, they're going to have a baby and just instant joy. Oh, yay, I'm procreating. But, like, all of our emotions are so much more nuanced than that. Like, all of our life experiences are so much more nuanced than that. Like, we're all carrying into our current position, our current, like, perspective, everything that's happened to us in the past. And so, like, even positive relationships have negative moments, right? Like, like, I remember when Andrew and I, like, in the beginning of our marriage, like, there was, like, a point where, like, he hurt my feelings, and he didn't mean to, right? And he's like, I feel so bad that I hurt your feelings. I'm like, Andrew, this is, like, going to happen. Like, there's no way to be so emotionally connected to somebody and, like, being so emotionally vulnerable to somebody that, like, there's never going to be a moment that I'm going to hurt your feelings or that you're going to hurt my feelings. Like, there's just no way that's possible, because the only way for us not to hurt each other's feelings is to not care about the other person, right? And, like, it's just, I don't know. I just want to, if I'm going to see such a big moment in a character's life, I want to see
people
them
being conscious being real. Of what their reaction
exactly.
is going to be.
Like,
yeah.
Like, this is just so deeply personal. And so don't show me something I've seen before. Show me something personal to this character.
Well, so, like, I feel like the example you brought up, like, 10 minutes ago, where you have a character who's just like, oh, I'm going to be a dad. And he's, like, just over the moon about it. And I feel like it's always shown contrasted with, like, the female character who's, like, kind of on the fence or
like,
not.
Like, am I going to be
so
a mom or
about
not?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, it, like, obviously it feels really insensitive, not insensitive, but oblivious?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to share a piece of writing advice?
Ooh, a piece of writing advice. So we did kind of touch on this in the episode. Siblings are really fucking mean to each other, and if they're nice to each other in the book, I just straight up don't believe it, so don't do that shit.
Okay.
Look, they can't all sound like Confucius or whatever. Sometimes it's just going to be like, this is my opinion, and take it or leave it. You don't have to listen to it. Like, actually, no, there's a better piece of writing advice, and it is that there is so much advice out there that a lot of it is stylistic and personal choice, and you have to really figure out. And it's a lot of things won't even seem like stylistic or personal choice. They might sound more grammar oriented, like don't use a bunch of adverbs. But
yeah,
that is also a personal opinion of people. Like,
no, I think that's
you
a really
can
good point.
Just use a fuck ton of adverbs, and maybe that really helps your prose in some way. But you know, you really have to find the line between what's a good amount of, like, advice to take from other people, what is the advice that's definitely what advice should you take, what advice works for you, and what are you, like, obviously the other end of the sword is you don't just blindly discard all advice being like, well, that's your opinion, because you are relying on other people's opinion of your writing if you want other people to enjoy your writing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're writing for other people, you do actually have to take input.
Yeah, no, if you're writing also, purely for yourself, do what you want.
Yeah.
Do everything you
do
want.
Do everything you want and know that I'm
don't think about anyone else.
Because,
yes.
Yeah, it sounds really great to write exactly what I want all of the time. But at the same rate, like, I really want to write so people
there's
read
a lot
it.
Of joy in sharing
yeah,
it.
I really like sharing it. So, yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like when you share it, you're writing for other people. I think the way that other people can share their opinions about your writing can help you grow in ways that you couldn't have done on your own.
Well, and what's really interesting is when somebody shares an insight about something you wrote and you're like, oh, that's right, that was there.
Like, yes, that is also fantastic. People have more, you can't see the back of your head, but people can tell you what's there.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Okay, so my piece of writing advice, at some point in your writing process, really like identify the different mechanisms that are making your characters move and bring those like to the front. Like, let us see what they're thinking. Let us see like if they're saying one thing and thinking another, like why are they doing that? Like, just really give us some insight. Give your character some life. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So, Kate, do you want to tell them where you're at?
Twitter for however long much it's around. I have no fucking clue.
I have no fucking clue.
By Kate
I'm
Meyer.
Omitting that from my
oh, yeah.
My life.
You're just not even. Yeah. I keep thinking every episode, I'm like, am I going to include Twitter? No.
I open it once a week or so to see if anyone's tagged me anything or like sent me a message or something, and that's it.
I'm absolutely heartbroken that Friday Kiss had to stop.
Yeah.
Gwen Jackson, I believe her name is. She runs the Friday Kiss. Uh-huh. She does it on Facebook. So go to Facebook. She does it on Instagram as well. So you can.
I was
going to
say, I see
Friday
him on
Kiss.
Instagram.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where it's been moved.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's built such a lovely community off of this prompt. It really sucks that the terms and conditions on Twitter have changed in a way that
she can't. I didn't even know this.
Oh. Yeah.
But
it happened last Friday. It was the last one.
But Twitter man is so into free speech.
So into free speech.
But you can't say Mastodon
can't do this.
And you can't have Friday Kiss.
Yeah. I don't know what exactly it was that. But she explained that there was some change in the terms and conditions that made it so that she can't run it anymore. Like,
ridiculous.
She doesn't feel safe running it. Someone else said they would take over, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I all the hope that that person
is able to
continue with this beautiful community. But
yeah,
you know, it's sad, and I've always loved Gwen's contributions.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Well, and I think that she did such a great job of, like, creating something that, like, could help you not be so nervous to, like, share writing in such a broad way.
Yeah, no, it was so wonderful because, like, you can share snippets of your story and, like, kind of microdose what it's like to share your writing with people.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of builds up a sort of bravery with it.
It does.
And you can also just connect with other writers, people who are, and other readers. It was so great in all those ways. And I hope it maintains that. But I, you know, with how Twitter is right now.
Yeah. Who knows? Do you want to tell them where you're actually at?
You can find me by Kate Pryor, Instagram, TikTok. I have to make more TikToks.
Yeah, I'm kind of very much like, TikTok will come back in a season or two for me. Like, I'm just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not feeling motivated to... It's just, I've never really built a great community there. So it's like, if I post something, like, I get decent interactions.
It's differently shaped.
It
you
is.
Know, in
and so, like, Instagram...
The ways
like, I feel
that
like...
you can interact.
Yeah. I feel like Instagram, like, I actually have a community there that, like... you know, actually feels like friendship, but I haven't formed that on TikTok. And I think that's one of the reasons why it doesn't feel like I want to post anything there.
Well,
I don't know.
I think it's a little bit that it's just, you're not seeing very much of your own circle of people.
Yeah.
You are constantly being exposed to, I feel like more of what you see on TikTok is new people constantly being pushed at you.
It
which
is.
Which is nice. I love discovering things.
Yeah.
But it's also like,
I followed so-and-so for a reason.
Yeah. And it's like, I want it, like, you like curating your feed is more loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have a newsletter. Your newsletter is the best.
You have a newsletter?
No, you have a newsletter.
Oh, I love my newsletter. So yes, did you actually say where you're at without me interrupting you all the time?
I think it's somewhere in there. Listener, okay. If you've made it through this many episodes, you know where I am.
I am Marty the author on Twitter. Forget Twitter. On TikTok and Instagram. At MartyV.com, there's a pop-up and you can sign up for my newsletter. I love my newsletter. And it's by far my favorite way to communicate with people.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Listener.
All right.
Thanks for coming along on this very strange ride with us.
Listener, I hope you like your new secret baby.
I hope you like it. So it took us by surprise.
I hope you like our secret baby. Yeah.
Definitely the secret baby episode for us. Like, aside from the fact that it's actually about secret baby, but it really did catch us by surprise.
Yeah, this was utterly unplanned.
And like, they couldn't tell.
All of our episodes are unplanned. I think we planned like one and actually did it right.
Well, and like, I think there was one that we planned, but we had the conversation previous to recording it, and we were like, this is not the same like, conversation anymore. We've already said all this to each other, let's stop.
Yeah, listener doesn't need to prep me to this.
All right, well, listener, you're awesome. Thank you.